Blog Talk Radio.
For those that are able, if
if you have your grape juice and your crackers, we will have a communion service that goes along with this, because this is a special day, Messiah being the first fruit into the kingdom, fulfilling this feast day. And this is the day that, you know, we come together and we just celebrate the kingdom itself and the opening of it by Messiah. So I want to start this off with go ahead and doing our, let me greet everybody. I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. As we go forth on this morning, you know, I pray that Yah blesses someone, whoever's listening, and those I send out emails to people, and we have, you know, new people that are becoming interested in the valley here and joining the ministry, reaching out from the Hebrew Connect site and wanting to join. And so we're praying that Yah continues to increase us. Specifically asking for males. You know, we want females, but we also need males in the ministry. And it seems they are out there listening, and they are starting to hear and wanting to come. And so we thank y'all for that. We'll see how things develop in the next few days or months or so. But on today, no matter where you're at in the world, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or any of the communist bloc countries that people are listening to, we want to say happy Feast of First Fruits, happy Feast of Passover, not Passover, Feast of Pentecost. And this is traditionally the day that the Most High granted citizenship and access to the world into his kingdom under the new covenant. So you may have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and let us do our statement of faith, and then we will proceed with this celebration. I believe all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there's one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you on today, and we glorify you, and we lift you up, O Yah Elohim. And we thank you for this day, the feast of the first fruits, Father, that you have allowed us to be alive in your kingdom one more day, Father, to celebrate once again Citizenship Day in your kingdom, Father. So we come before you, and we submit ourselves, and we celebrate you on this day, Father. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father, for you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. And we just thank you on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, so we want to go ahead and let's do the sounding of the shofar. It is a yearly feast day and we're to sound the shofar in it as directed.
Spirit God, send your spirit God. Yeah.
And amen, amen. An appropriate song for today, because this is the day that the Most High rebreathed on mankind with his spirit and released his spirit into the world for all of mankind to receive if we would but do what he said to do. I want to start this particular lesson out in Leviticus. I want to go and get where the Most High instituted this feast day, because what the church is, when they don't read the Old Testament or the Torah, they don't get where these feast days come from. And this, you know, as I was sitting here thinking about this and looking at these scriptures in Leviticus, there is no way that the modern day church doesn't know when the true Sabbath is, because you can only calculate this feast day by using his Sabbath. And if you change the day of the Sabbath, you will come up with a wrong day of the week for Pentecost. So how is it that every church, Catholic, Pentecostal, or Protestant, everyone celebrates this particular feast day on the same day? This Pentecost Sunday in the churches, the feast of the first fruits for my Hebrew brothers and sisters. And the Catholic Church is the Pentecost. However, you can only come to this day, calculate it, by using the Most High's correct Sabbath day. Think about this. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. And I want you to get starting verse 15. So this when I was reading, I said, you know, this is strange, but, you know, they're saying that Sunday is the day of worship. It is a new Sabbath day for those churches that celebrate on Sunday, that meet on Sunday. And so if it is their Sabbath day, there is no way that they can calculate this day correctly. So let's read this. Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 15. No, let's not start there. Let's see. Yeah, let's start in verse 15. And you shall count unto you from tomorrow. Now tomorrow, this, the way this date was calculated, you would take Passover, okay? And the first day of the week, the first day of the week after Passover would be the heave offering, okay? And so we would do the heave offering on the first day after the weekly Passover. After Passover, you have Passover. Let's say Passover falls on a Thursday. Then you have the weekly Sabbath. And then the first day of the week after that weekly Sabbath is the heave offering. If Passover was on a Monday, then the week would be that same Friday of that same week, Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday would be the heave offering. But it says to count. You're going to count starting from a day, okay? If you count unto you from tomorrow, after the Sabbath, so we got the weekly Sabbath, and then the day after the weekly Sabbath, you're going to count. From the day that you brought the sheave of the wave offering or the heave offering, seven Sabbaths. So after that day, you're going to count seven Sabbaths, okay? You got to be using the weekly Sabbath. It's going to tell you to do something to it. Seven Sabbaths shall be complete, even on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. So if the weekly Sabbath is on a Saturday, and you count seven Sabbaths, and then you have to do one more day, to tomorrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. Seven times seven is 49, plus one gives you 50. That will always fall on a Sunday. Always on a Sunday, 50 days. Seven Sabbath, seven times seven, 49. Plus one day gives you 50. And this is when Pentecost would be celebrated on the feast of the first fruit. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yah. You shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of two tenths deals. They shall be fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. And they are the first fruits unto Yah. So this is the feast of the first fruits. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto Yah, with your meat offering and your drink offering, even an offering made by fire. This was supposed to be a sweet smell unto Yah, this offering. And so we're going to want to offer up an offering to the Most High of ourselves. Head of the goat for a sin offering. We know that Messiah is our sin offering. And 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of a peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Yah. And the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to Yah for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the self same day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. Okay, and then he goes into the harvest that this is around. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any glean of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the strange. I am Yah, your Elohim. So of the first fruit, the Most High said, don't glean the corners of the field. Leave that to the poor. But you, to calculate this day, you got to use 7 of his weekly Sabbath days, 49 days. And then on the next day after the 49th day will be 50. Pentecost means 50 in the Greek. That's where they get this word Pentecost. But this is the feast of the first fruits. For Hebrews, Pentecost in the world, okay? And so it's named Pentecost in the New Testament, but it's truly the feast of the first fruits. Now, what I want to bring up here real quick, if your Sabbath day is Sunday, 7 Sabbaths of Sunday gives you 49 days, plus 1 day, you will be coming out with Pentecost Monday. So in order for the world to celebrate this feast day, they have to be using the correct day of the week as the Sabbath to always come up with Pentecost Sunday. It's impossible to calculate it any other way but using the real Sabbath day. Just food for thought. Now, let us go into the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Chapter 1. And we're going to look at a few verses here because this is the Most High said that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Joel chapter 31. Okay, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And so this is the day that this promise is fulfilled in scripture. Now let's see what Messiah said about this. Starting in verse 1. The former trees have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began to both do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, has given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion for many infallible proofs, or by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days in Elohim. So when Messiah came out of the tomb, he was saw of them 40 days. Now, this gives us another clue, because he told them the next feast day is going to be 50 days after Passover, the first Sunday after Passover, okay? After the Passover, the weekly Passover Sabbath, 50 days from that. But he's here 40 days. So there's roughly about 10 days that they have to wait. So he's taught for 40 days. He ascends, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Father, which he said, you have heard of me. So what was this promise? Let's go to Joel. And let me bring up my Bible. Joel, 28. I didn't write this one down. The book of Joel. Chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And let's start at verse 28. Joel chapter 2, starting at verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heaven. Now, this is a two-part prophecy. First part, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all, but not everyone is going to receive his spirit. His meaning, what he's saying is that I'm going to make my spirit available to all people, all who truly repent before me. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon them. And even on the handmaiden and the servant, because traditionally in the scripture, the Most High only poured out his spirit on the prophet and the king. This was not something for the average, everyday person. He didn't do it for everybody in Torah. The king and his prophets, those people who were supposed to be leading Israel, he put his spirit in them. And so the leader, but the average everyday person and the servant and the handmaiden, they didn't receive this, okay? Now, the second part of this prophecy, and I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, the darkness. This hasn't happened yet. And the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yah comes. So he switches gears. He's telling us, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will have visions, and I'm going to pour it out on my handmaidens and on the servants. But then he goes into a second part of this prophecy and says that there shall be wonders in the heaven. So he's telling us when this will end, when this time will end. I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be darkened, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of Yah come. So when we see the sun turn into darkness and the moon into blood, this time of him pouring out his spirit is going to come to an end, because now he's going to come to judge. That's what the day of Yah is all about, him coming to judge. So men have up until that time that they can go before the Most High, repent, and seek him for his spirit. Okay. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be delivered, as Yah has said, and in the remnant whom Yah shall call. That's what salvation will be. So he's going to have a remnant that are going to preach the gospel in the last days before the day of Yah comes. When Yah comes, he's not going to be pouring out his spirit anymore. And mankind won't be able to enter into his kingdom or receive the spirit that way. That time will come to an end. That will be also be the end of the times of the Gentiles. Because they're ruling right now. So in this prophecy are several events. But he opens the kingdom up by pouring out his spirit. Okay? So let's go back to Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1. That was the promise. Back in Joel, verse 4 again, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh not many days hence, not many days from here, 10 days exactly. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, kingdom to Israel. So if we want to look at some other prophetic events that Messiah reveals at this time, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, not revealing my exact time when I'm going to come, but you shall receive power. Now, because he said you shall not know the exact time, the times or the seasons, even though he reveals the seasons at another time, what will be going on in the world and what we should look for, he said, you're going to receive power because there's a mission that you got to do, something you got to do. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's going to start at Jerusalem, Samaria. This is where the lost sheep of the house of Israel were at. The Most High knew exactly where they were at. Messiah knew exactly where they were at. That's why he said, I must needs go to Samaria. Because those Hebrews that had escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria when the Most High dispersed the northern kingdom, some escaped, and they were still in Samaria, which was later changed to Samaria. It was Israel, and the capital was Samaria. They were still there. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, when she comes and Messiah's talking to her and he reveals to her who he is. He's coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so he tells her, because he says, these are the sick ones. And he reveals to her that he is the Messiah. She says, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. He says that, you know, you don't know who you worship or what you're worshiping. She claims to be the seed of Abraham, our father Jacob, an Israelite of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he reveals to her who he is. So we know that these are the lost sheep that he's gone to before he ascends from the earth. He has to go to them, and he does it in John chapter 4. Now he says, now, he's talking to his disciples, you're going to receive power to be witnesses unto me, to remember everything that I taught you, to perform miracles. So you're going to receive that not many days from them, okay? And this is going to go on until this gospel is preached unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Everybody has to have a chance to hear the gospel and to repent in every generation. And it wasn't going to just happen in one generation. So we know that this comes to an end. According to the prophecy in Joel, it comes to an end right before the day of Yah, the day that he comes back and starts judging the world. That's when the times of the Gentiles will end. That is also the time because that Jerusalem will be downtrodden under the Gentiles until the times of the end. So these prophecies line up. On this day, he is telling them to go and wait. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Yeshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So they saw him ascend into heaven. They're telling us when he returns, he's not coming through the womb of a woman. He's going to descend from heaven. and everybody's going to see him. That's why it says the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood. They won't give their light. The only light that men will see upon his return is him. He's going to come in his full glory, just like they saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration when he started to shine very bright. And Peter, John, and I forget the other apostle that was with them, they saw him transform on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he shone brighter than the sun. So he says, nothing's going to compete with me upon my return, not even the sun and the moon. And everybody will see him all around the world when he comes. So he's giving us some hints here. Turn, then they return unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Now, they're going to go in and elect another apostle. Go to Acts chapter 2, the book of Acts chapter 2. And he told them to go and wait, tarry in Jerusalem. Now, what I find is that a lot of times when people are given the gospel, when they are never told if they go to tarry for the Holy Spirit, they're told that they will just receive the Holy Spirit. But sometimes you have to tarry. You have to wait. You have to go into prayer. You have to seek out the Most High to receive the Holy Spirit, just like they did. And so if you have any doubts in your mind, if you have, you know, because I know when I was told this and I would go and tarry, in the back of my mind, thoughts would come up, oh, you're going to stop this, you're going to stop that. But that was the enemy, you know, distracting me. And then the Most High said to me, I will not forever call you. And that's when it became all about him and have, you know, receiving and being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, okay? Now, the Most High has given us every major act that he's going to do through his feast days. And so here, Pentecost is the feast of the first fruit of the first harvest. And so he's telling us here that this is also when he starts his spiritual harvest, starting with Messiah. And now I'm going to start bringing in and harvesting souls into the kingdom. Okay? So when the day of Pentecost, 50 days, 50, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, this rushing mighty wind. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1, the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. And Ezekiel is shown something, okay? And so I want us to, now this is invisible to the people on the day of Pentecost, but Ezekiel was shown this. So there are certain factions, at least one that I know, that teaches that it was a flock of angels that came on the day of Pentecost. And the angels were speaking to the apostles and telling them what to say in tongues, okay? But let's see what Ezekiel saw so we understand what happened on the day of Pentecost. What was this rushing mighty wind? Now it came to pass in the 13th year, on the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw a vision of Elohim. And in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim, the word of Yah came unto me expressly, Ezekiel the priest, the son of Booz, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of Yah was upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A whirlwind, a rushing mighty wind, came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. So he hears this rushing mighty wind, this whirlwind, and the appearance was fire folding in on itself, like like a turning ball, but it's folding in on itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber. Now, I told you that the Most High has a color. And when I did the color of the Most High, because we are told what his color is, it's a color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, everyone had four wings. Now, what are these four creatures doing? And their feet were straight feet, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides, and they had four, and they had their faces and their wings. These wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. And as the likeness of their faces, they had their four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four had the face of an eagle. So on the left side, the face of an ox and an eagle, on the right of a man and a lion. And thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched forward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and they covered their bodies. And when they went, everyone straight forward, where the spirit was to go, they went. So where the spirit is talking about the spirit of the Most High. Wherever he wanted to go, these beings went. Now, how do we know that they're carrying him? They went and they turned not when they went. And as the four, the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like the burning coals of a fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of it the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. They're moving quick. Now, how fast is lightning? Just 1 second, it flashes over here, flashes again, it could be 10 miles away or 20 miles away. This is how fast they're moving. And as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth, by the living creatures with the four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was likened unto the color of beryl. Now this is the wheel. This is the color. But the color that they're seeing in this fire is amber. Okay? And the four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. And as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes, round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. Now remember, he's seeing a vision. Everybody's not seeing this. Anybody else around is not seeing this, but he's seeing it. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. And whithersoever the spirit was to go, wherever the spirit of the Most High was to go, they went. There was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheel. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheel. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of a terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads. Now, so you got these four angels, these four creatures. Their wings are touching each other. They have these four faces. And then on top of them, there is this faith. That's affirming it, a faith. And it was the color of a terrible crystal. And under the firmament, under this faith, where their wings are straight, that one toward the other, everyone had two, which covered side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their body. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. So there was a loud noise with this, okay? And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their head. So they got this space above their head. They're carrying this platform. This platform has the throne of the Most High. We're going to read this in a second. Okay, the throne of the Most High on it. When they stood and they let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their head was the likeness of a throne. So we got this throne over these four angels. And they're carrying this throne. Okay? And as the appearance of sapphire upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above on it. So Ezekiel seen the likeness of a man on this throne. And I saw the color of amber and the appearance of fire round about within it and the appearance of his loins, this man, upwards. And from the appearance of his loins, even downwards, I saw as it was the appearance of fire. When you look at fire, when it's in a certain state, it's a yellowish orange color, the color of that type of amber, just like the sun. If you look at the sun, it's an amber color, not really yellow. It's an orangish red color. The appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it, and as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud of the day of rain. So above this throne, we got a rainbow color. So was the appearance of the brightness of the round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yah. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of the one that spake. So the one that spake and that was sitting on the throne was showed with his rainbow that showed the covenant of that he made after he flooded the earth, that he would never flood the earth again to destroy man. And the rainbow that he said he set in the sky to remind him never to do it, it's above his throne. Now this is who's arriving on the day of Pentecost. And what they hear arriving, it's the Most High's bride, these angels, okay? But they're carrying the Most High. The angels are not going to be speaking to the people. The angels are not going to be telling the people. The Most High said, I'm going to pour out of my spirit personally upon all flesh. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2. As you will hear, I know at least one congregation teaches that flock of angels that were speaking to the men on Pentecost. But let's see what the scriptures say. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, as a mighty whirlwind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as unto fire. Just like Ezekiel saw this fire enfolding in on itself, the tongues appeared unto them as likened unto fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. They should say the Holy Spirit. So they interchanged ghost and spirit. But this is the spirit that was on top of the angels, carrying the Most High, that this is the Most High himself. He is the Holy Spirit. So for those of you who don't have this understanding that the Most High is the Holy Spirit, he says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Okay, so you got people out there who teach that the Holy Spirit is my You got people out there that teach that the Holy Spirit is Gabriel. You got people out there that teach that the Holy Spirit is just another angel. But the Holy Spirit is the Most High. So let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to come back here. Romans chapter 8. And I believe I want, start in verse 9. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, the Spirit of Elohim, the Spirit of God, dwell in you. The men were filled with the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of Gabriel? The Spirit of Michael? No. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, is the Most High himself. So it says, if the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit that was in Mashiach, and they're using Christ like last name for Mashiach here, but we know that Christ is the power and wisdom of Elohim, the title. And the Spirit that was in Yeshua, HaMashiach, was the Spirit of the Most High, to wit, Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, the one and self same Spirit. So it says, if you don't have this, there's not two separate spirits, there's only one. If you don't have the Spirit of Elohim dwelling in you, this is what Pentecost is all about. I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And if Christ be in you, which is the Spirit of the Most High, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, or as we know, lawfulness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua, Jesus, from the dead, dwell in you, who raised up Messiah from the dead? The Most High, the Father, raised him from the dead. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. How? By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the one that raised up Messiah, he is the Holy Spirit. He is the Ruach HaKodesh. It is not Gabriel. It is not Michael. It is not some other angel. And the men on the day of Pentecost weren't filled with any angel. The only spirit that they were filled with was the Spirit of the Most High, as he promised. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Go back to Acts chapter 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The Most High has arrived on his ride. These angels are his hoops, his form of transportation. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High, and began to speak with other tongues. How? As the Spirit gave them utterance. Not as they wanted to. Not as they were taught. As the Spirit of the Most High gave them utterance, they spake. And there were at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now the Most High said he's going to pour out his Spirit. And he wants witnesses to this. Hebrews. He gets those that are classified as Jews. Okay? Now, this is important because they are devout. Devout means that they are keeping the law. They are not breaking them. And he has them. They're keeping the Feast of Pentecost, which was a required feast for them to attend. So they're coming from all around the world to be at this feast day, as commanded in Leviticus. And because they are there, then the Most High takes the devout ones of those. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem. Now, these are not, and these, when I say Jews, there are also some people from some other nations that are not Jews. They are now considered to be Jews because they are proselytes. They have chosen to convert. So what I'm going to call, for lack of a better word, name, Judaism, okay? Even though I don't like that word, and I'm going to have to pray to the Most High to give me a better one. They converted to Judaism. Okay, they converted, they agreed, they wanted to join themselves to Israel. And they agreed to, their men would be circumcised. And they would keep the laws of the Most High, and they would keep the feast day, and they would come close. Okay? And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews. About men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised about, when this was heard abroad, the multitude came together. What is that noise? What is this noise, this rushing mighty wind that we're hearing? And what is this, these people speaking in tongues? The multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So what were they hearing? Were they hearing Galilean? Were they hearing Hebrew? Were they hearing Greek? So imagine that you're there on the day of Pentecost, and one of you is German, one of you is Roman, one of you is Egyptian. What you're hearing is your own language. Read it. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. Well, man, these are all Jews. But there's a problem, okay? The multitude came together. Hold on just a second. The multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? So they should be speaking Galilean or Hebrew or Aramaic. But they're hearing them speak in their own language. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Now, the kingdom had spread. Judaism and they had expanded throughout the Mediterranean and into other parts of the earth. Now, it's going to give us what they consider the entire world here. Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, in Mesopotamia, and Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers from Rome, Jews and proselytes. Proselytes were converts. Okay? So these were, but they were now considered to be as one in the what? Land. So it just says devout Jews out of every nation, but some of them were converts. But they wouldn't be considered to be Gentiles. One in the land. Okay? Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of Elohim. And they were all amazed. And were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What does this mean? How are we all hearing them speak? speak. These Galileans speak in all these different languages wherein we were born. They weren't born in Israel. They were coming back to Israel to keep the feast days. They kept the laws and the statutes and commandments in the lands where they were born. They weren't born in Israel. They were born in Egypt. They were born in Greece. They were born in Saudi Arabia. They were born in Cyrene and in Rome and in Asia and in Cappadocia, which is a Roman province, in Mesopotamia. All these different places, we hear them speak in our language of Elohim. And they were all amazed and in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking, making fun, said, these men are full of new wine. Now, wouldn't you want some wine that you drink it? Some of us may do this. You start speaking another language, not drunk language, not with stammering lips, okay? But with tongues, a complete language that you had not been taught, you had never learned, and the miracle is you're speaking it, and in this case, it could be understood. Because it was to be a witness to those people who were at Jerusalem. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, as you think, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is by the prophet Joel. Now, we went and read this prophecy out of Joel. And it comes, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith Yah, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now he's going into the second part of this prophecy again. The sun shall be turned into darkness, because he's pulling out the part that's just happening now, and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of Yah come. So he's telling us here's the start of it. Here's the end of it. This is when it's going to end. So when people say that, you know, you're automatically filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with a lot of churches teach that, be baptized and then you will automatically receive. That's not the case. That's the case for some people. Typically not. That what goes on every time somebody's baptized. Because the expectation is not even being set for this to happen to them. They just told that you received the Ruach HaKodesh. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Of Nazareth, a man approved of Elohim among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which Elohim did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Elohim, this was the will of Elohim, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified him and slain, whom Elohim has raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Who raised him up? Elohim. That's what I said. If the spirit of Elohim don't dwell in you, then you're not going to be raised up. Not the spirit of Michael, not the spirit of Gabriel, but the spirit of Elohim, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it by death. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw Yah always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. David saw Adonai next to Adonai in a vision. Adonai and Adonai. And he saw that the resurrection of Adonai is Messiah, but it's the Most High in flesh. Saw the resurrection of Messiah. And so he knew that the Most High was not going to leave his soul in hell. So he testifies of Messiah. He will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Neither wilt thou suffer, thou hast known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance, with thy countenance. You're going to give me your spirit. You're going to make me full of joy with your countenance, with your essence. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. And he's talking about himself. He's talking about the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that Elohim has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to live, to sit on his throne. Mary and Joseph were both of the house of David. But Messiah did not get his flesh from Joseph. He got his flesh from Mary. And his inception was by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So it's through Mary that Messiah is born into the house of David. And then because paternity comes through the father, and Joseph was of the lineage of David, Joseph adopts Messiah. Mother is where his flesh came from. Okay? And he's adopted into the house of David by Joseph. But by birth, he is of the lineage. He is the offspring of David through Mary, but the root of David. I am both. I am David's beginning, and I'm an offspring of David. How is that possible? Well, he tells you. He shows us. Okay? And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Mashiach, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Yeshua has Elohim raised up, and wherefore we are all witnesses. And that's what they're here for, to be a witness. This is what Israel was created for, to be a witness. And you are my witness, saith God, that there is no other Elohim besides me. I'm doing all this. I'm your Savior. I'm your Redeemer. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. The book of Isaiah chapter 11. Yeah, 11. Hold on a minute. I got the wrong Isaiah. I'm sorry. Isaiah. I'm thinking 11 and 43. It's actually 43 and 11. Isaiah chapter 43. And let's read this. Isaiah chapter 43, starting in verse 1. For now thus saith Yah, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am Yah, thy Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. I'm going to kill some people to cover your sin until Messiah can come. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Yah is doing this. You are my witnesses, saith Yah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. When Yah formed Israel and made it a nation, he made it a nation to be a nation of kings and priests, to be a witness unto him. What were they to witness? That you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. I am the only Elohim. And before me there was no Elohim formed. Neither shall there be after me. The Most High is not making new gods. You see, you have some congregations that teach that. That the Most High is making new gods. No. Filling his people with his spirit and expanding himself. Expanding himself, but he's not making new gods. Okay? I'm not going to form another god. Neither shall there be before me there was no god formed. Neither shall there be after me. I am Yah, and besides me, there is no Savior. This is what Israel is supposed to be a witness to. There is no god but one Elohim. There's no but one Elohim. I have declared and I have saved, I have showed, when there was no strange Elohim among you. Because remember, our forefathers worshipped the gods of Egypt. So the Most High waited till he got them out in the wilderness. And he showed them his might again. So that there would be no, they couldn't give the glory to another god. When there was no strange God among you, therefore you are my witnesses, saith Yah, that I am Elohim. This is what our witness is supposed to always be. Yah is our Savior. There is no other Elohim. He alone is Elohim. We can't make two Elohim. That's why when, you know, they even came and asked Messiah about this. Said the same thing, but he didn't tell them who he was. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will let it? Who will stop it? Thus saith Yah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ship. I am Yah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. When Messiah came riding into Israel on the donkey, side about, behold your King. This is Elohim. Now, he had already told Israel that he would be coming through prophecy. But what they wanted, we want a king now. We want a king we can see. Most High says, I'm your king and I've been ruling you. I've been directing your path. But now, and I've been doing it through the prophet. But now you just look at the prophet as prophets and not as kings, because I don't want them to take my glory. I'm ruling you through them. So I'm going to give you a king you can see. So thus saith Yah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans and the cry and the ship. I am Yah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith Yah, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariots and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down, they shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. That is future. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So this is what he's going to do when he gathers us back. He's going to cause the desert to spring forth with life. It could be the Sahara Desert. It could be the Arabian Desert. It can be the Sinai Desert. But he's going to cause those places that are waste and desolate to spring forth. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons of the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. The people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Now, he goes into how Jacob has not called upon him, Israel. But he created us to be a witness, that he alone is Elohim, that he alone is our Savior, that he alone is our Redeemer. This is the one that's coming to fill us with his Spirit. Go to John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting in verse 10. He, Elohim, was in the world. And how do we know this is Elohim? And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own. I formed Israel. I took you as my wife. I was your king. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of Elohim. Anything that you have to become, you are not it yet until you become it. So he gave us the power to become his sons. He opened up the kingdom and said, I will pour out of my Spirit. And by pouring out his Spirit upon you, makes you his child, makes you his son, even to them that believe on my name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Elohim, of God. This is who the Holy Spirit is. This is who we're being filled with. This is who we have to receive. That's one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The Word is God. Verse 14, and the Word, which was God, Elohim, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Not an angel. Elohim in flesh. And we beheld his glory. How? The glory as the only begotten of the Father. When you see me in flesh, I want you to know me as the Son, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But it's me, the one that created the world. And I told you I did it alone and by myself. Now I'm pouring out my Spirit upon those who can believe and will receive, who are truly repentant. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you that the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that Elohim has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Mashiach to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Mashiach, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Yeshua has Elohim raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. You are my witness. Therefore, being the right hand, being by the right hand of Elohim exalted, the right hand is a position of honor and power. And having received of the Father the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Who baptizes us with the Ruach HaKodesh? John tells us. It is Messiah. Who is Messiah? The Most High in flesh. He's going to give us the same spirit. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, Yah said unto my Yah, Adonai said unto Adonai, sit thou on my right hand, and shall I make thy fold thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Elohim has made the same Yeshua, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. This prick is actually a weapon that the Romans used to use when they marched into battle on horseback or on their foot. And it was a long lance with a round blunt end on it. And what they would do is hit you in the chest with this prick. And it would actually bust the heart of those people that they hit. So it's saying that when they heard this, they were so convicted, it was like their heart bust. Said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We killed the Messiah? Or the ones here in Jerusalem did? What shall we do? This is the kind of conviction that the Most High is looking for those that come to him. That it hurts their heart so bad that what Messiah had to go through. What? The Most High had to come and die for us? That's a terrible thing. And because we sinned, that's a terrible thing. And so every person should be convicted in their heart that it hurts their heart that he had to do this. This is the way these men are. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and turn away from it. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as Yah Elohim, our Elohim, shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort or encourage, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized. They heard what they were supposed to do. They gladly received the word, and they were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, every man as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Elohim and having favor with all people. And Yah added to the church daily such as should be saved. So this is an overview, the last part of this. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, the book of Acts chapter 10. And this is when the Ruach HaKodesh, 10 years later, is released. Close that door for me. The Ruach HaKodesh is released. Drop down to verse 46. Let's actually start in verse 40. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, just like it did on the day of Pentecost. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Now these are six Hebrew brothers and brothers that came with Peter from Joppa. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. Now, how did Peter and these other brothers from Joppa know? For they heard them speak with tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, so these are filled with the Spirit. Okay? And now they are, Peter commands them, can any man forbid water? Messiah said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Spirit of the Most High, the Ruach HaKodesh, as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized. So you got congregations out there teaching that you don't have to be baptized in water. Just be baptized in the Word. Okay? Then he baptized them. Can any man forbid water? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yah. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Go to Acts chapter 19. The book of Acts chapter 19. Get verses 1 through about 8, somewhere in there. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard. And this is a problem in the church today, because they're not setting people with the right expectation. They're just telling them that they automatically receive the Holy Spirit. They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. What did John baptize unto? Then said Paul, John verily or truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after. That is on Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So these are John's disciples. They have heard the word. They didn't know they were supposed to receive the Holy Spirit. When they received, they had the same experience that the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. When the Gentiles received, they had the same experience as the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. And all the men were about 12. Let's go to chapter 8. Book of Acts, chapter 8. And let's go down. We're going to start in verse 12. Now this is Philip He has come to a city of Samaria. His spirit was not released to the Gentiles until Acts chapter 10. These are the Samaritans. These are the lost sheep of the house of Israel where Messiah went. But when they believed, starting in verse 12, and when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim and the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were baptized, both men and women, baptized in water. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. How are you doing this stuff? Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they didn't hear that same day. At least, as far as I can see in the scriptures, about no less than a 9-hour journey. That'd be 18 hours back and forth if somebody left. And no, not a 9-hour journey. That would be today. Like a 90-day journey. So some time has passed. The apostles at Jerusalem have heard that Samaria has received the word of Elohim. They sent unto them Peter and John. Now, remember, they have been baptized. And with the church today, when you get baptized, you automatically receive the Ruach. Who, when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Why? For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. It's not an automatic thing. But they tell people it's an automatic thing. And you don't know unless you see the signs. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now, how is he going to see the Holy Ghost? That the Spirit comes without up to them. What is not written here is that he heard them speak in tongues, like all the others. It's the only way that he could know that, just like Peter, just like Paul. The only way Peter could know that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit, he heard them speak in tongues. The only way Paul could know that John's disciples had received the Holy Spirit, he heard them speak in tongues. It's not written here, but there's no way for Simon the sorcerer to see that these people have received the Holy Spirit, except for he heard them speak in tongues. That was the sign. So on this day, we celebrate the release of the Ruach HaKodesh and the Most High filling everybody that he chooses with his Spirit. And we want to thank him because he says, not by power and not by might, but by my Spirit, am I going to do this? And he says it in Ezekiel. I think it's in Ezekiel chapter 9 or somewhere like that. I'm going to save this people by my Spirit. Not by power and not by might, but by my Spirit. And I'm going to convert them into my... Now, we know that even a lot of people who have this done in our field, according to Messiah, they are not taught today. Can't speak for the early church, but I think the early church would have been teaching them. But after the church was taken over by the Gentiles, because the original church was all Hebrews, they were Jews, then Israel gets kicked out of the land. And the Gentiles take over the church. And this is where we start getting the separation from the doctrine that the Most High has put into place. Then we get these bad doctrines of salvation. Messiah says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So on this day, we want to pray that everybody has already been baptized by the water in the name of Yeshua, if you were baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those are titles, but you want to be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. I don't care whether you call him Yahuwah, Yehoshua, you've got to be baptized in his name, one of his Hebrew names, or his Aramaic name, even his English name. The Most High will find it acceptable. Not in a title, though. Because there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And then you need to ask the Father to fill you with his Spirit. Let's get that verse. Because this expectation is not set in most of the church. So we have a lot of people running around claiming his name, doing work in his name, not being filled. So let's see, hold on a minute. Then Luke. Go to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And he just tells it straight out here. And he's using it as a parable. And we're not going to start in verse 13. Let's start in verse 8. Luke chapter 11, verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of the importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Given. Shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Just ask and you shall receive. You're automatically going to receive because you believed and got baptized. And sometimes when you ask, the answer doesn't come right away. You may have to tarry. Stay before the Most High and continue to seek. Continue to knock. Father, I want your Spirit. Make me your child. Make me your child. I want to become your child. Just because we are born human does not make us a child of the Most High. Does not make us a son of the Most High. But it's by his Spirit. He begets us with the Ruach HaKodesh. We become his sons. And then after we become his sons, then we have to be obedient. We have to keep the commandments. Can't be children and be disobedient. And those that are disobedient, he says, okay, I never knew you. I chose you, but I don't know you. Because you're disobedient. So if you be among us today, and you want your citizenship into the kingdom by receiving your sonship. If you have not been baptized in the name of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yahuwah, whatever name you go by, then I'm going to encourage you to find a sanctuary. I pray to do this on the land when we move there. We will be doing this, baptizing in his name. And you will be instructed, if Yah does not fill you with his spirit right then, that you yourself go before him. You should desire this before you even get baptized. But you go before him and you ask him to fill you with his spirit. And if you continue to ask him until it happens with signs, so that you know, that you know, that you know. Nobody should ever have to tell you whether you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High. Trust me, when it happens to you, you will know. There is nothing like it. Nothing like it. You will know. Nobody will have to tell you, because you got people telling people, oh yeah, you got it, you got it, you got him, when they really don't have it. When you are filled, you know. You know this. Okay. So we want to go before the Most High. We want to thank him on today for spirit, for making us his children, for reiterating to us that, hey, we have to be obedient. And if understanding that the Most High filled you with the Ruach HaKodesh and made you his child, if that's not enough to make you stop sinning, once you know what it is, nothing will make you stop sinning. Nothing. That should be sufficient. The Most High chose, I will obey. I will be obedient to his word, because he first loved me. Now I want to show my love for him through my obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. Show me you love me by being obedient. On this day, to all mankind, all they got to do receive him for who he is, the Elohim, the creator. Understand that they have transgressed, broken his law, were born into it, in sin, and that he has given them the opportunity to wipe their slate clean and to become his son. And we have to come with a humble heart. We have to come hungry for him, wanting to belong to him, would do anything, whatever it takes to be his. That's the attitude that he's looking for. I will do whatever it takes to become your child. You see, that was absent in my walk. I wanted to be his child, but I wasn't willing to do whatever it takes. And he says, I will not forever call you. And it became about, I will do whatever it takes to become your child. And then he filled me with the Ruach. He washed out. And as I began to open my mouth and to praise him, what was in my brain is not what came out of my mouth. A whole nother language came out of my mouth. And I did not recognize, I know what was in my brain, but it wasn't me controlling my mouth. And I began to speak as the Spirit of the Most High gave me utterance. You want to have that experience. You don't want to have anybody have to tell you. You have the Ruach HaKodesh, or you don't. It's something that you should know for yourself, that there is no other Ikna. But when he does it for you, you're going to know that you know that you know. If there be any listening today, and you have not had this experience, As I said, I would recommend that you find a church. Today, most churches still baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I want you to go and ask them to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, if that's the name you use. If you are a Hebrew Israelite, in the Hebrew name that you understand, Yahuwah, Yehoshua, Yeshua, that you be baptized in his name, and that you ask the Father to fill you with the Ruach HaKodesh. Don't feel like this is some automatic thing, because we just read in Acts chapter 8, all the Samaritans did not receive the Holy Spirit when they got baptized. And so this is something that you want to know that you know. Let us go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Those of you who are going to participate in the communion on this morning, because we want to remember Messiah who died for us, who sacrificed himself, that we might become citizens in his kingdom, that we might have the opportunity to find the straight gate and to enter therein, that we remember his death, that we thank him. Let's go here. Let's get one other thing. John says it, so I want you to read it for yourself. Go to John chapter 1, start in verse 31. Actually, start in verse 29. John chapter 1, starting in verse 29, and then we'll do a communion service for this Pentecost. The next day, John seeth Yeshua coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and there abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. We are told that you're going to get the Spirit of the Most High is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of the Most High. It says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, if the one that raised him from the dead doesn't dwell in you, then you're none of his. Must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And I believe it's chapter 11, but just a second. Chapter 11, and for those of you who are taking part in this communion service, if you will get your wine and your crackers, I need to get my wine, good grief, my grape juice, not wine, automatic, my grape juice and my crackers. We don't do wine. We're not doing wine. And I'm going to play a song. When we come back, we will do communion, and we will wrap up this Pentecost service. We're going to ask the Most High for an increase, for a harvest, and an increase in the souls that he sends, that they would come and they would be ready to receive truth, that they would ready to be to serve him as he has intended. So I'm going to, here it is right here. Thank you. So if you'll go ahead and get it, I'm going to play a song. And when the song is over, we will do communion.
How can I describe a time that's indescribable? How can I explain a love that's I'm
Father, Yah, we come before you now, Father, thanking you for your gift of salvation, thanking you for redeeming us from our sins, Father, thanking you for the sacrifice that was made in Messiah. Father, we are truly thankful that you looked down upon us and saw fit that we should hear the gospel and that we should believe it and that we should receive of you, of your Spirit. Father, we pray for all the people who are listening, that you would bless them wherever they are at. Refill them even now with your Spirit anew, that they might have joy and peace in you. We pray for an increase in the number of people that you send in this, that they would be malleable and that they would hear the word and that they would come seeking you to obey, to walk in spirit and in truth before you, to serve you with all of their heart. Father, now as we take a part of this communion service, fill us with your Spirit. Unite our hearts as one in you. And as we read from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, for I have received of Yah that which also I delivered unto you, that Yeshua HaMashiach, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. If you will take the bread and put it in your left hand, place your right hand over. Father Yah, we ask that you would receive of Messiah's body and that you would sanctify as we remember him as being broken for us. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You may take the bread and now eat. And with every chew, remember how Messiah's body was broken for you. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you, Father, on today. We thank you for your obedience of Messiah, for going to the grave for us, Father, and having his body broken for us. Hallelujah, for our sins. We thank you even now. Hallelujah. If you will now take the cup, put it in your left hand, the right hand over. Father Yah, we ask that you would sanctify this cup of grace, that it would, we should remember and sanctify the blood of Messiah, that it was shed for us for the remission of our sins. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen. And after the same manner, also, he took the cup, and when he had cup, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, Messiah, we do this in memorial to you. And remember how your body was broken for us and your blood was shed. Hallelujah. You may drink. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just thank you for your body and your blood. We thank you for this gift of redemption. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit, Father, on men and women, handmaidens and servants, Father. For truly, we are not worthy. And we thank you for choosing everyone that you have chosen in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
the temple. You are the voice. We are your song. You are our God. We are your people. You are the light. We stand in awe.
Yeah.
are raising with us in emotion. Love inside.
till the dry bones respond, I gotta run over. So cancer responds, I gotta run over. So my family responds, I gotta run over. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up till I overflow. Come on. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up till I overflow.
Oh,
I wanna run. Oh, I wanna run. Oh.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah, thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you all today. We lift you up. Hallelujah. Hey, glory, glory, glory. Glory to you, Father. Glory. Glory to you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Unto you, Father, belong all glory, all honor, and all praise. Majesty belongs to you, O Yah Elohim. All majesty, all glory, and all power. We submit ourselves to you, Father, as your obedient children. Hear our supplication. Hear our prayers. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right, amen. This concludes our Pentecost service on this morning. I want to say happy Pentecost, happy feast of first fruits to everybody. We pray that you have a blessed rest of your day. Spend it giving glory unto Yah Elohim. Sing praise unto his name, for truly he is worthy. Truly, he is worthy. All right, we will meet again on Tuesday, newcomers class, and we pray that everybody's in attendance. We will continue in the lesson that we were in. Hopefully, we'll have some new members who they are wanting to attend that class, so we hopefully they will start attending. May the Most High bless you. May keep you safe from all hurt and harm. All hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I truly do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments safe. For this is the whole duty of man. Shalom. Happy Feast of Pentecost.
Shalom, brother.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a butt. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishmaka, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwells in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwells in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Pentecost.
Shalom, family. Happy Pentecost to you. Have a blessed day, Sister Mary.
Thank you.